This is URN Sport.
Welcome to another edition of URN Sports, the Sports Centre. I phrase this as follows. In light of the bitterness of outgoing President Donald Trump after the US election results, how do you perceive sore losers in sport? Is humility in both victory and defeat important, or do we as punters want to see passion and commitment?
I think the first one that came to mind was the Italian team from the 2002 World Cup. They thought it was rigged against them, how Korea managed to beat them. Oh no, they just beat you fair and square. The ref was a bit dodgy. Yeah, but I don't think it was bribed. But if you still ask many Italians now, they're still very sore about the matter.
You have to look at tennis players a lot of the time. I think David Nalbandian might potentially be an example, obviously very famously kicking the umpire, admittedly unknowingly, but very angrily, you know, taking out his aggression because he was losing. There's countless examples from Wimbledon, to be honest. It seems like all the players with anger issues go there and get particularly angry. They obviously, there's such an attention amongst the tournament, and some players thrive on the pressure, on the anger. Novak Djokovic in a way has to be one. I remember he really got really fell out with the crowd in the semi-final of the 2019 Wimbledon tournament against Batista Agut. He was really sort of shouting at the crowd, getting frustrated. Victor Troicki is another example, and you know, like, one of the few players, to be honest, who's never really lost their head in a really high profile tennis match is probably Rafa Nadal. Always his composure, is always very calm, is ultimately the best sportsman in that sense, because I've seen Roger Federer smash his racket when he was losing to Novak Djokovic. So even like the very charming Roger Federer had that moment of bad sportsmanship.
Hello and welcome to Sticky Wickets. In quite a busy week in cricket, the IPL came to a close with a fifth title in 8 years for the Mumbai Indians. What are your thoughts on the Mumbai Indians season, Toby?
Oh, it was great, really. I think they perhaps think off the quickest start. I think Delhi Capitals leading for quite a while, but they were the best team the whole way. And I think first team to retain the title since 2011 with Chennai. I think they've just got such a balanced side. They did really well with their overseas players. Obviously, De Kock at the top of the order, once he came in and started doing well, scoring tons of runs. Pollard, I mean, what a great player, great finisher to have. And Trent Bolt and Bumrah to for the bowling. It's a great team really all around.
Good morning and welcome to a very special edition of the Outside the Box podcast, where this morning Benji and I are joined by James Pearce, the Liverpool correspondent for The Athletic.
I got a bit tired on social media over the summer trying to, like, you know, people just didn't seem to understand that, you know, yes, Liverpool had just won the Premier League title, but this idea that there was, like, you know, sack loads of cash just sitting around waiting to be spent just didn't stack up with the reality of having a wage bill that's, what, £325 million a year, and, you know, players didn't have wage cuts, you know, during the shutdown. And, you know, you speak to people in senior positions at Liverpool and they'll tell you that, you know, the shortfall, you know, revenues-wise, you know, has now gone past the £100 million mark. So it was, you know, I think that was why, where traditionally we've been used to Klopp getting his business done early, this time around, it was always going to drag on, because I think, certainly from a financial viewpoint, you know, Liverpool wanted certainty.
Hello then, and welcome to the Premier League show. I'm delighted to say we're joined by a fantastic panel. I've got Cameron, Ruben and Pavan. The first topic of conversation I wanted to discuss with you boys is about the FA. Obviously, on Tuesday, Chairman Greg Clark, he's resigned from his position after a series of offensive comments which were made against black, gay and female footballers.
We are meant to be the role model country. I mean, you remember a couple, you know, in the past 2 or 3 years, we've been to some friendlies and games across Europe, and I remember there were, you know, racist chants and shouts at the players, and we were all criticizing those football associations. But when you look at ours isn't in a much better state.
I think Pavan's hit the nail on the head. We are supposed to be this model country in terms of the way we act, especially in an organized sport environment. I think it's so, you know, it's 2020 and we're talking still about issues of people in power. If these are our role models, you know, the people behind the important desks in the fancy suits, they're the ones making these comments. It trickles down the ladder and it has to start at the top. That's where we need to start seeing some change.
I think education is where it starts. I think there needs to be a bigger transparency. I know there's a lot of problems with leading football bodies where there's a lot of mistrust between fans, clubs, and potentially the higher organisation. And so I think there needs to be a lot of transparency in terms of maybe who they're recruiting, having some ethnic minority groups at the higher level and have a much more powerful say over what happens.